All righty. Good afternoon, folks. We'll call the Municipal Services Committee meeting of January 18th, 2022 to order. And first order of business, if I could have a motion to approve the minutes from the December 7th, 2021 meeting.
So moved, Peter.
Thank you. I think that was Grace.
Yep.
Is there a second? All right. So if there isn't a second, can we hold off on this, or can we just
Bob seconds.
Bob just okay.
Oh, Bob did.
I'll second it. I don't think I was there, but I still think I can second it. I'm just gonna abstain when it comes
certainly.
To
certainly. All righty. Any amendments to the proposed minutes as presented? And I don't see anybody. So all those in favor, please say aye or raise your hand. Aye. Anyone opposed? And anyone abstaining in addition to Robert? Okay. I'm going to take that. And then our next action of business is the approval of meeting schedule for calendar year 2022. That was in the agenda packet.
It's basically the second Tuesday. The third Tuesday of every month, except for December.
November,
December is combined to December 6th. To avoid policy board and holidays.
Great. I didn't check to see when ICMA is, but we'll play that one by ear. I'm not sure if that's a little later in September or October.
I think it is end of September.
Okay, great. All righty, with no meetings in July and August, thank you very much. We have consensus to adopt this as presented. Any objections? Hearing, seeing none, we've got our calendar laid out for 2022. Anybody tell Matt that calendar?
Yes, it's actually Laura's putting everything on his calendar.
Yeah, so. I just thought maybe we'd mess with him a little bit just to get him started. Okay, all right.
Noted. So,
I can do that. You folks shouldn't, but I can do that. Okay. Let me find the agenda. Back to the agenda. Any public comment at this point?
I don't see anybody.
I don't see anyone raising their hands. All righty. We're going to move over to Pauline for Tim for number four for the EDA, or are you going to do that?
Tim's going to do that one.
Welcome, Tim. All yours.
All right. Well, thank you for having me. I'm just going to share my screen real quick. If I do this correctly.
I know Kim gave you a lot of power there, Tim. So
I did.
I know.
So be careful.
I don't
with
want
that.
This. presentation. Okay. Well, you can see my screen?
Yes.
Well, it's not in the...
Yes.
Okay. I just have a couple slides here. All right. So this is the EDA CARES Act funded projects. So just to kind of go through this, we have just a short agenda here. Just going to talk about the grants, the four different projects that we're funding with it, and then a little status updates on where we are in the process. So... about the grant, it's a two-year grant, ends August 2023. CROG's portion of that is $375,000. It's funded through the EDA CARES Act funding. This was funding that was passed the first stimulus bill after the COVID-19 pandemic. So this has been a fairly long time coming to get this grant going. We've been working on it for, since 2020. but it's finally getting there. This is a statewide grant that was put together by the Department of Economic and Community Development on behalf of 6 regions in the state. 3 of the regions had already received money from the EDA because they were EDDs. And were receiving EDA funding otherwise. So they got automatic funding as a DECD decided to apply on behalf of the 6 regions who did not get any funding. So the 4 projects that DECD asked us to work on, they gave us a few options, but we chose the following. The first project, and I think the kind of the center piece of the whole project is the SEDS update. So our comprehensive economic development strategy was last updated in 2019. It's a 5-year plan, so this is a little early to update it. But one of the things that they want us to do is to really focus on pandemic recovery and resilience. Since I don't think anybody's comprehensive economic development strategy in the country anticipated the COVID-19 pandemic, they would like everybody to update theirs to sort of deal with the consequences of that and look at, you know, future resilience to any future events like that. The next project is a recovery coordinator. So this individual or firm will be staffing the regional long-term recovery steering committees that were set up by, I believe, Demis originally that CROG has been hosting. Part of this will be just staffing the meeting, doing agendas, doing meeting minutes, things like that, but then also taking some of the results of those meetings, like some of the unmet needs that are identified and trying to turn those into projects. And look at grant funding opportunities for those needs. The next project is to do some technical support for small businesses, primarily focused on digital transition. So this is moving to online operations, so things like online ordering, you know, doing things like Grubhub and DoorDash and having online purchasing, even marketing online for small businesses that generally don't have, you know, the resources to do that on their own, also accepting digital payments, things like that. So this will be providing direct technical support to those businesses. And then the last project is to do a series of educational webinars for small businesses. And this would focus on, again, things like digital transition, but also workforce development, pandemic recovery, things along those lines. We'll be partnering with somebody to actually put those webinars on, and then also doing some entrepreneurial meetups. So looking at the entrepreneurial community, putting together events where they can either in person, you know, if the COVID numbers come down enough and we're able to do that in person, or digitally doing meetups to help people network, you know, find resources together and expand their networks. So those are the 4 projects. I'll just pause here if anyone has any questions on any of those.
Tim, just a quick question. Is the thought in terms of the SEDS update to use a firm such as the one that originally did the SEDS 3 to 5 years ago? We bring them back in or to concert to, because 18 months, basically 18 months to complete all this work.
Yeah, so for each one of these, we're going to be hiring a firm. We didn't put any, we didn't have any staff time in the grant for CROG. It was logistically kind of difficult to do that. And we figured also that just given the time frame that we had to work on this, that it'd be probably more efficient to hire a company and get some outside perspective as well. So that is the plan.
At this point, is there any sense of how that $375,000 gets proportioned to each? Is that still
to be determined? So the SEDS update gets 90,000 of that. The recovery coordinator, I believe, is at 110,000. Technical support is at 100,000. And then the webinars and meetups are at 75,000.
Great. Thanks. Anybody else have any questions at this stage before Tim continues? All right.
And I just have really one last.
What was that, John?
Besides being underwhelmed.
And then the last slide I really have is just on the status of these projects. So we're still in the process of contracting with DECD to accept the grant. This has been a bit of a process, but we're almost there. We've given all of our documentation to DECD. We've reviewed the grant contract. We've had our lawyers review the grant contract as well. And I believe we are actually just about ready to sign. The policy board approved that a couple months ago. Three of the RFPs that we're doing for these projects are in the review process. So the SEDS, the technical assistance, and the recovery coordinator are all being reviewed right now. We have panels set up for those reviews, and they should be done probably within a month or so. We'll have contracts signed. One RFP for the webinars and the meetups is open right now. And then again, the end date for the grant is in August 2023. So we have a somewhat shortened time frame. It was originally supposed to be 2 years, but with all the contracting, it's eaten into that somewhat. But that is just an overview of the CARES Act project, and I'd be happy to answer any questions or discuss anything further in more detail.
Great. Thank you, Tim. Any members have any questions, comments? So I don't see anybody, but so Tim, I'm gonna jump in here. In terms of the digital transition or technology, I just like to make a suggestion that I'm not sure how it can get framed, but making sure that that's those businesses across all of our communities are eligible and a whole cross section. I know there's, with 100,000, that's not a ton of money, but if you can get, not just be Hartford centric, but we can get out to some of our smaller businesses and our smaller communities. That would be my hope.
That's certainly a great point. Yeah, we want to spread the wealth as much as we can, and make sure that we're hitting businesses in all the different size communities that we have. So yeah.
I would suggest that you may link with the Chamber of Commerce's too.
Certainly. Yep. Yeah, we'll be in talk with the Chambers of Commerce, Metro Hartford Alliance, Hartford Chamber of Commerce, East of the River, Chambers of Commerce, and all the other ones.
Taunton County, South Windsor,
Taunton County,
yeah,
Enfield.
And Tim, you had mentioned the there's a RFP open right now for related to the development of webinars and provision of webinars. Did I hear you correctly?
Yes. Yeah, so that webinar, that RFP is still open. We hope to be getting the responses within a couple weeks, and then hope to award that contract pretty quickly.
All right. And I assume that's on the website. I can forward that on to, I know a couple of nonprofits that may be interested.
Yep, should be on it's on the websites under the RFP, RFQ section.
Okay. Thanks. Any other questions, thoughts? Certainly to get a little bit of a historical context, but also some, be interested in how the SEDS update, if we use a similar fashion where you had a cross section of public and private sector folks on that advisory committee, perhaps some folks from the past, as well as some new folks, just to provide historical context and mix it up a little bit.
Oh, certainly. Yeah. And we have a meeting of our SEDS implementation committee coming up in February on the 3rd. And that is it's a pretty broad cross-section of players throughout the region. It's headed up, co-chaired by Jay Williams of the Hartford Foundation and David Griggs from the Metro Hartford Alliance. And then we have people from education, businesses, someone from Travelers, nonprofits, all throughout the region.
I assume they're going to look at the 91 I-84 intersection or crossing.
we're gonna leave that up to the Greater Hartford Mobility Study. as far as actually coming up with a solution to that, but that is definitely an issue that the region faces, and we'll make sure that we look at the process.
Our SEDS plan should support at least the concept of getting it done along with rail.
Oh, certainly, yes. Yeah. In the last SEDS, we had We didn't talk as much about the 8491 interchange. I don't believe that was actually the Greater Hartford Mobility Study had started at that point, but we did talk about enhancing rail access to Boston and also increasing CT Fast Track east of the river as two of the projects that we were looking at. But we'll definitely take a look at the Greater Hartford Mobility Study options and probably put those in the SEDS as infrastructure projects that would be advantageous for the region.
And broadband.
Yes, broadband is going to be a big topic.
All righty. Anybody else have any questions or comments regarding EDA grant status? Thank you, Tim. I know it's been and Pauline and staff, it's been a pretty heavy lift to get here, and hopefully get DEC contracts will be signed soon. So look forward to getting updates over the course of the next 3 or 4 months.
Certainly. Thank you.
All righty. Meeting next item is, and Pauline, you're going to handle this. This is the Rescue American Rescue monies.
So I think with regards to this, I sort of feel like the ARPA memo has been beat to death in this committee. So I would just open up to any questions people might have or thoughts. We've already heard back from a couple of the municipalities with regards to their interest in different things. And so I would just ask people to remind us, to let me know what projects, if you're interested in, which projects you're interested in that, with regards to that. And I think we also, as a start, we will be doing the RFI for the curbside food waste recycling. I note that Meriden just started that pilot program in their town. So it'll be interesting to see how that goes. I've seen some numbers from Zero Waste that, well, we'll see.
So do you have to buy Zero Waste trash bags to do that?
Well, so in Meriden, what they're doing is they're doing orange bags for food waste and other colored bags for trash, I think. That's
the
way they're
doing it. And who's the vendor that they buy the bags from?
I don't know where the bags come from. I think they're
Zero Waste.
Oh, of course. We'll see how that goes, and we will be doing the RFI because that's in our work plan to do, and it'll be interesting to see what we come back with. And there's some interest in that in terms of the towns. It's important, but I mean, it's nibbling at the edges, right? In terms of the bigger issue of Mira closing, it doesn't touch that. And the short, medium, and long-term issue. And I think that is something that's a little bit beyond CROG, but I think we still have to take a leadership position in that, in the solid waste area, to just encourage the state to do something instead of just talking about recycling and reusing.
So, thank you, Pauline. I have a question on the workforce development. Is this, if I'm reading it, that's essentially pooling our funds together to hire navigation specialists that would work with the job center?
Correct. Well, so there's sort of two. Right. So there's two sort of phases to that. There is a navigation specialist who would work in the job centers, and part of it will have to is and then. And then also a navigation specialist that is dedicated to the town. So and so it will depend on the size of the town, the needs of the town, what the town already has in place for that. So there's sort of two parts to that. So we had a couple of discussions with Capital Workforce about that in terms of options with regards to what they thought would be the most helpful. And the thought is, the real gap is getting people to get to where they can start the training or continue on with the training in order to get those skilled into those middle skilled jobs that we're in such need of in Connecticut. And so the navigator would serve that function both at the job centers and focused on the individual towns as well.
Do they have any money that they can contribute towards that, or is this all coming from municipalities voluntarily? I mean, do they have any money, meaning not, that they can put up towards this, or
CWP?
Yes,
possibly. Okay. No, possibly. No, they would like, it's something that they've been thinking about for some time. So we're, you know, yep.
Okay.
And we also had a discussion with them, you know, depending on the interest of the towns, maybe we focus more on the navigator that's not at the job center, but that's focused on the individual towns, depending on which towns, how many towns and things like that. So that was one of the reasons why we didn't put a price on there, because it's, because we wanted to gauge interest before we, you know, went to that next step, because some of it will depend on, are we pooling resources? Are we sharing, or are we focusing? Let's say Rocky Hill and Weathersfield need a part-time navigator. So you end up with one full-time navigator for the two towns or something like that, that's focused on navigation for people within those towns, as opposed to someone at the job center. So it really depends on the number of towns that are interested to figure out what we can support.
Okay. Thank you. Anybody have any other
questions? Just a quick question. The workforce districts are not coterminous with the CROG district. So does that mean the towns that are new to CROG are out?
We'll have to figure something out, but not completely. How about that? How's that for an answer, John? We don't want to leave you out. That's the way I would answer that.
Can this be used as an example of why having district lines be the same makes sense?
Choir robe right here.
Do I hear Lyle clapping?
Temis, workforce, I mean everything, anyhow. Peter, Matt has his hand up.
Mr. Hart, all yours.
Thank you, Peter. Good afternoon, everyone. Great to see you. I have not been as involved in this conversation in the last few months, but want to thank everybody for their good work to date. A clarifying question, Pauline, the funding. So when have any of the towns made any soft commitments as of yet? Or will we be speaking that at a later point?
Well, so there are towns that have indicated their interest. So at this point in time, we're gathering towns that are interested. And so I don't know if you would count that as a soft commitment, but.
Okay.
Is it more so on the technical assistance, Pauline? I know that was an early focus among some folks.
There actually hasn't been a lot of biting on the technical assistance. And I think with the new guidelines, there's, as John pointed out at the executive committee meeting, I think with the new guidelines, it makes it easier for towns, smaller towns, in terms of what they can use the money for and what they need to track. So I think there's less of, we haven't had any bites on that.
Yeah. Okay.
All right, and a quick follow-up, if I could, Peter.
Yes, please.
So I've alerted Pauline to this. You know, West Hartford, we're reaching out to Hartford and then possibly some other MDC towns as well to talk about stormwater projects and the possibility of establishing some sort of regional stormwater utility. I don't know if there might be an opportunity at a later point with respect to this grant source, or perhaps the newer bill. And that is it the IIJA, Pauline, if I have that acronym correctly?
Yep, it's the IIJA. Yes, it's the newer bill is the IIJA. I would say that there could potentially be in the IIJA. The only thing I see in the IIJA that would apply in terms of the funding, a lot of the IIJA is formula funding. So they automatically divide it amongst the states. Some of it is competitive. A lot of it is transportation focused. There is a Army Corps of Engineers construction. There is some portion that is a competitive grant, and that might be the only one that I can think of that might apply. The NOFAs for these will not be coming out for quite some time because they are the implementer hasn't been passed yet. So the implementer bill has to pass in order for them to come up with the guidelines. And then once the guidelines come out, the NOFAs come out, and then we start from there. We have been looking at it internally in terms of potential grants within the IIJA, competitive grants within the IIJA that would be possible for CROG. Most of them are transportation related, you know, fueling infrastructure, smart mobility related, safe streets and roads and things like that. But there are some possibilities. I mean, broadband, there is a competitive portion of the broadband grant. How much of that is going to be competitive is still up in the air. Some of it is formula funding to the states, but there are some competitive funding, and they just recently had a listening session regarding those competitive funds. And I heard over and over again, don't count a community that has one access point with broadband as having broadband availability. And that's something that we all agree with, because I'm sure John has experienced that, not to pick on Coventry, but just because one house on the census block has broadband does not mean every house on that census block has broadband. So that's something that was part of the listening session. And so we'll see what comes of that as well, because that's sort of a opportunity there.
Thank you.
So Matt, I think that's a little bit of it is the timing in terms of the stormwater ideas that you had. So I obviously doesn't preclude anybody from working on those independently. Maybe we can look at it as other opportunities arise. That was one of the questions I had for folks in general, was where folks were in getting their councils to commit their allocation plans, or where were they in their allocation plans of the rescue monies. I know Windsor, where they've committed probably about 10% of those funds for some immediate needs, and now they're over the next 2 months they'll probably be formalizing probably 60 or 70% of those additional funds. So I'm not sure where everybody is, but they're certainly, each town probably would be in a different place in terms of timing to look at stormwater enterprise funds or something like that.
So West Hartford has committed about a third of its municipal grant and none of its county-based share.
Mm-hmm.
I've recommended that they use the majority of the county-based funds, which are approximately $12 million for stormwater projects.
Anyone else have any comments or questions regarding the rescue plan memo or where they are in their commitment at the local level? All right. I don't see anybody's hands raised. So refresh my memory, when are you looking for, Pauline? What's that memo say, a certain time frame?
End of the month.
End of the month, okay.
I'll probably send out a reminder next week.
Yeah. And are you the best point person at this point?
At this point, yes, I am.
Okay.
I'll be trafficked up.
I may have some interest in the workforce development.
Okay.
Component. Okay. All righty. Next item was status reports. And Pauline, I know you had a memo in the agenda packet. You want to hit the highlights?
I think that the big thing is fuel bid is, of course, there's no piggybacking on that bid. So if you haven't gotten your quantities in, this is your sort of your last call for it before that bid goes out. And then I would say, in terms of the other things, job portal we took a while to work on the terms and conditions because there were privacy issues and things like that. But that's finishing up. So that pilot is going to go live fairly soon. Those are the highlights that I can think of. DEI RFP interviews are this week, Thursday, on Thursday. So that's pretty exciting with regards to that. So that will be wrapping up fairly soon. And I think those are the major highlights from this month. Solid Waste is going to go out, the consultant for that long-term visionary planning that no one else is doing, will go out this week, at the end of this week or early next week.
Anybody have any questions for Pauline on any of those projects?
Pauline, do you mind if I...
Oh, yes, please. Go ahead, Eric.
It was on the agenda there, but I'm looking to reconstitute a regional GIS user / steering / working group. In the past, that's been, for the most part, ad hoc, you know, to go along with, you know, flight projects or regional parcel grants or what have you. But I'd like to make it more of a regular thing, especially with doing meetings online. It should be quite a bit easier for folks to attend. And we're just looking for, you know, really to assess the needs of our municipalities and to steer our GIS efforts in the office as best as we can. And I did send out to all of the chief elected officials just a request for a suggested contact in your town for GIS issues. I received about half. So if you haven't given me a name, I will, I'll fill it into the best of my ability. I'll fill in the blanks from existing lists that I have. So, but that's about it. And as always, anything with GIS, please feel free to contact me directly.
Eric, you thinking maybe a quarterly type of meeting with the advisory or?
Yes, I think that that's probably enough. If we feel like we need more, you know, people can call me anytime in between too. I don't want to use up too much of people's time with a monthly meeting. I think that's probably overkill.
Great. Okay, great. Thank you, Eric, for those reminders.
Thank you.
Pauline, I had one question about the DEI. Did you have a good response, or what you felt was a good response in terms of to the RFP?
Yes, Kim can tell you the particulars. So
we had eight proposals, and they were obviously all reviewed by our committee, and we will be interviewing three of those firms on Thursday. So the three that we will be interviewing seem very qualified, so it'll be interesting to see what they have to present to us.
So that's going to be just similar to our other projects where we basically have pre-qualified, done the procurement, and then any towns can join in and contract with those folks.
Correct.
For their range of services they'd like.
Yep, CROG will contract with the firm and then be a side letter. Any municipality that is interested in participating in the DEI services and training services can join via side letter.
Would you folks expect that to be on policy board action in March by the time you get agreements figured out and costing?
Maybe February, because if the interview is this week, I would say it could come before the board in February.
Okay.
Where we have a decision with regards to who that's going to be. So I would say more likely the February board meeting.
Great. Thank you. John, I see your hand.
I was trying not to be as rude this time. On the Easy IQC for bridge and road work, is that going to be accepted by Connecticut DOT for grants?
So this is, we've been around with Connecticut DOT with regards to Easy IQC, and it's a hit or miss. It depends on which division of Connecticut DOT you are talking to, who you're talking to, which day. It is absolutely maddening. Every time we want to use Easy IQC for through CTDOT, we go through the same thing over again, and it's a 50-50 proposition. They did use it for the connectivity grants with no issues. So we've sort of tried to leverage that with other things. And I think, Kim, I think the last go around, I can't remember. I mean, it's possibly is what how I would answer that. And we've tried to, we're working on trying to get DAS approval so that we can just have a DAS letter saying.
Get approval, but it's.
We're trying.
It's fun.
But it's a 50-50 proposition with regards to DOT and whether it's, so some projects they've accepted it, some projects they have not. And
so at this point, like a LOTSA project wouldn't be worth trying.
It depends on the size of the LOTSA project, I would say, because, well, I mean, there's no, so my experience is that the smaller the project, the more likely they are likely to say, okay, fine. The larger projects are the ones that we've had more difficulty getting approval.
Should we then therefore try to get them to agree to some limit to say, I don't know, $500,000 or whatever it is, $200,000, and get that like agreed so that we don't have to go through this every time?
I would love to. I just haven't figured out who I'm supposed to get the approval from because we get bounced around. I mean, it's, yeah, no. So we are.
Commissioner's office?
Maybe we go directly to the commissioner's office. We are trying. And maybe that is it. Maybe saying anything under 500,000 is, you can use Easy IQC. That would be great.
Because it saves their staff time and they have all these engineers retiring.
Yep, they do. They have 25% of their workforce of CTDOT is retiring in April. That's huge. I mean, that's like, what are they going to do? All right.
And if I may add on to that thought is I'm intrigued by this DOT delegating projects to the COGS. To transportation planning groups. That's something that came up at the executive committee last meeting. And perhaps that's if there's a short memo, Pauline, that could, even a bullet points, what that means that we might be able to share with members of the Municipal Services Committee to that whole concept, which other states do much more. And what, but same thing kind of along what John was saying is get some things off of the DOT plate. We've had a few lots of projects that have just kind of languished, relatively straightforward projects, pavement rehabilitation projects, and DOT just can't get it out the door.
Mr. Chair, if I might, that's in our draft legislative program too. So if you wanted to highlight that, it's actually part of a legislative effort to John's question that we would take up with the transportation committee chairs as well as with the commissioner of DOT.
And Lyle, just to make sure I understand that there's no legislative action required. It's really pressure.
No. Right. They can actually delegate either to MPOs or to sub-MPO units, which they can. They can delegate to a town to acquire right-of-way. But we do most of our
right-of-way.
Yep, they do now. What we need, and this goes back to the point, is a standard document so we don't have to go through it one at a time, and then a common practice of areas where we might do that. So if you want, projects under $500,000 managed locally, you say that in a flat statement. So that's what we're looking at. But as far as I know, there's absolutely no statutory. The feds think everybody's doing this, actually. So we're kind of unusual in the fact we don't. Most states do this.
Okay. Well, I guess save yourself of work. We can just encourage everybody to take a look at the legislative agenda, that memo, and be able to give you an idea of what we're referring to as terms of DOT delegation.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So thank you, Lyle, for that.
Thank you, Peter. Info. Mr. Chair.
Yep. Okay. So I want to move to information sharing. We just kind of did a little bit of that. Anybody have any items that they would like to share? Any questions they'd like to ask of the membership? You cannot talk about COVID testing kits. That's off limits. That may take me 10 years to get over those scars. So, all righty. I don't see anybody's hands up. I'm not sure, Kim, if you see any. I don't see any. So, okay.
Nope.
Great. All righty. Well, thanks, folks, for joining in this afternoon. Next meeting is February 15th. Reminds me, Valentine's Day is the day before. All right. Thank you. So, all righty. All right, folks, we are officially adjourned at 12:43. Thank you all.
Thanks, everyone.
Have a good day. Bye-bye.
Ciao.